What's up, everybody? I am back again looking into another rather recent and trending crime case. Since you guys seem to like the Wade Wilson series so much, I figured I would try to jump on these more popular and more recent cases, especially ones that are going through testimonies and all the fun stuff that court brings along with that, so we can stay on top of these stories and give you fresh updates multiple times a week. Anyways, today's story is another disturbing one. Not quite on the Wade Wilson level of disturbing, but this one is just as messy. This is the strange and downright disturbing story of Karen Reed and the murder of John O'Keefe. On a frigid February night in 2010, a grim discovery awaited the town folks of Canton, Massachusetts. The quiet community accustomed to the whispers of snow underfoot and the stillness of winter would soon be shaken by a tragic story that would evolve into a haunting murder case embroiled in controversy, heartbreak, and mystery. John J. O'Keefe III, nicknamed JJ or Johnny, was born on December 8, 1975. John grew up in Braintree, Massachusetts, and graduated from Braintree High School and Northeastern University. He earned a master's degree in criminal justice from UMass Lowell, and he lived in Canton since 2014, where he was helping raise his niece and nephew following his sister and brother-in-law's deaths, tragically. John spent 16 years on the Boston Police Department force. In that time, John got to work with somebody known as Pat Rogers, who was featured on the reality television show Boston's Finest. Boston's Finest is an American reality TV series which aired on TNT and chronicled the daily operations of the Boston Police Department. The series went on from 2012 to 2013 and unfortunately only had about two seasons under their belt before it was canceled. This is only brought up because Pat Rogers at the time was dating somebody known as Laura Sullivan, who had a kid with him and was also longtime friends with John. Now, Laura would meet Karen A. Reed, who will become very important later in this story, and eventually would introduce her to John. They would start talking and subsequently kick it off and start dating. Now, a little bit of information about Karen Reed. She was born in 1980, grew up in the Taunton, Massachusetts area, and also lived in Blacksburg, Virginia for some time. She graduated from Coyle and Cassidy, a private Catholic school in Taunton, and went to Bentley University, where she graduated with a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in finance. She had been a financial analyst at Fidelity Investments since 2007 and was an adjunct professor at Bentley University. Karen lived in Mansfield at the time of John's death. John and Reed began dating sometime in 2020, like we mentioned. That brings us to the night of January 28th, 2022. John and Karen visited two bars in Canton, C.F. McCarthy's and Waterfall Bar and Grill. At the second bar, they met up with several acquaintances, including fellow police officers Brian Albert. Shortly after midnight, Brian Albert would invite a group of people, including John and Karen, back to his home on Fairview Road in Canton. The two would drive to the house in Karen's SUV, and this is where Karen claims to have dropped John off in front of the home and left because she wasn't feeling great. This is when a snowstorm hit Canton in the early morning of January 29th. Karen reported that when she woke up the next day, John had not returned home. After he did not respond to calls or text, she contacted an acquaintance from that night, Jennifer McCabe, who agreed to join her and another woman, Carrie Roberts, in looking for John. The three women returned to Fairview Road in Roberts' vehicle, where they saw O'Keefe lying unresponsive in the snow. Karen exited the car and began CPR. McCabe called 911 at approximately 6:04 a.m., and Canton police, fire, and EMS responded to the scene. John was transported to Good Samaritan Hospital in Brockton, where he was pronounced dead. A medical examiner later reported that John had abrasions to his right arm, several lacerations to his face, two black eyes, and skull fractures, which would have contributed to his brain bleeding. Now, while they did determine that hypothermia was a contributing factor to John's death, they recognize that that is not the entire reason John died that night. Karen theorizes that John was beaten inside the home and his body was left outside. However, there are 11 witness statements that say otherwise and also point to John never even entering the home. This is where the investigation truly begins to get interesting and a bit spicy. Massachusetts State Police Trooper Michael Proctor of the Norfolk State Police Detective Unit was the lead investigation for this case. He produced a series of written reports to Detective Lieutenant Brian P. Tully of the Massachusetts State Police. Now, according to police, pieces of a cocktail glass and patches of blood were found alongside John's body. They also found pieces of a broken taillight, which were said to match a broken light on Karen's car. It wouldn't be until February 1st of 2022 that Karen would be arrested. Her phone was taken into custody. She was charged with manslaughter, motor vehicle homicide, and leaving the scene of a collision in the Lower Staunton District Court on February 2nd. Karen's attorney presented a theory that implicated Brian Albert, who owned the home outside of which where John was found dead. They also tried to bring in his sister-in-law, Jennifer McCabe, who had been drinking with Karen and John on January 28th and helped Karen find John's body the morning of January 29th. Evidence showed that Brian Albert sold his house and got rid of his dog after the incident, and Jennifer McCabe made a Google search, which was along the lines of how long to die in the cold at 2:27 a.m. In November 2023, several residents of Canton voted to mount an independent investigation into the town's police department. In January 2024, letters between the general counsel of the department justice and Norfolk District Attorney Michael W. Morrissey were released, confirming a federal investigation was mounted into the Norfolk District Attorney's office. In March 2024, the Massachusetts State Police launched an internal investigation as well into the lead investigator in the case, Trooper Michael Proctor, due to the potential violation of department policy, but have not said whether that investigation relates to a specific case yet. On February 2nd of 2022, Karen was arraigned in Staunton District Court on the charges of manslaughter, leaving the scene of a serious accident and motor vehicle homicide. She pleaded not guilty and was released on an $80,000 bond. In June of 2022, a Norfolk County grand jury indicted Karen for second-degree murder, motor vehicle manslaughter, and leaving the scene of a collision. On March 12, 2024, Karen's attorney filed a motion to dismiss the case due to alleged conflicts of interest in federal crash reconstruction experts determining that John's injuries were inconsistent with the damage to Reed's car. The judge denied the motion on March 26 due to extensive evidence supporting the indictments, such as John's DNA being found on the broken tailgate of Reed's car. In early April 2024, just ahead of the trial date, the prosecutors filed a couple of motions, mainly requesting special restrictions during the trial to keep the media circus at bay. There was also motions that were trying to get passed that would prohibit anyone in the courtroom to wear any attire that says Free Karen Reed or anything like that. The judge approved a few requests, including the t-shirt thing, but the judge would say trying to keep people away, such as the media and whatnot, was a bit excessive. Obviously, there has to be a balance. There is the right to protest or demonstrate the defendant's right to a fair trial, but you also have to, you know, try to keep the circus down to a minimum, of course. Now, Karen's trial was first scheduled to begin in March 2024, but was rescheduled to April. The trial wouldn't start until April 16th, with the jury selection taking a little bit longer than expected and going all the way to April 24th. Now, prosecutors previously asked the judge to block Reed's lawyers from arguing that the others are to blame for John's death, also known as a third-party culprit defense. The judge instead offered the defense a chance to develop their argument through relevant, competent, admissible evidence, but still barred them from using third-party culprit defense during opening statements. On July 1st of this year, after about 25 hours of deliberation, the jury was unable to come to a unanimous decision. Now, the judge would declare a mistrial, and the Commonwealth does plan to retry the case. Now, when that case will be retried, we will definitely keep you updated and continue to add to the stories. Now, there is a lot of information I definitely want to jump into when it comes to the police, first responders, the O'Keefe family, and witnesses at the bars, so we can get a better idea of exactly what went down that night. The O'Keefe family would take the stand for the prosecution. They would describe the relationship between John and Karen. Now, Paul, which I believe was John's brother, actually acknowledged that there have been several arguments between the two. Nothing too crazy and nothing too violent that he had witnessed, but Erin O'Keefe, John's sister-in-law, would say that she actually considered Karen a friend. When asked about the day when John died, Paul recalled seeing Karen in the hospital screaming, asking if John was alive, while she was being restrained by hospital employees. Now, obviously, this could be a distraught girlfriend who just found her dead boyfriend. Or this could be, you know, a little bit of acting to make themselves look a lot less guilty. Canton police officer Steve Seraph, the first responder to the house and the crime scene, testified that Karen appeared to be giving John CPR and was visibly upset, repeatedly asking if John is dead and saying, "This is my fault." The defense pointed out that Officer Seraph's initial report did not include what Karen said, but included the statement when he testified to the grand jury in April 2022. Defense attorney Alan Jackson argued that not including the quote, "This is my fault," in the initial police report was an important omission. Now, four paramedics testified and told the court that Karen was saying, "I hit him," repeatedly at the scene. Canton Police Lieutenant Paul Gallagher, who was in charge of preserving the crime scene that day, testified that he and two other sergeants used a leaf blower to remove the snow and collected DNA evidence with uncovered Solo cups and put them in brown paper grocery bags. They also claimed that it was not standard practice to do so. Canton Police Sergeant Sean Good testified that upon arrival at the scene, he observed the area, noting at least 4 inches, roughly 10 centimeters, of snow and some pink spots which were possibly blood. He also mentioned they improvised methods of evidence collection using leaf blowers, Solo cups, and grocery bags. Officer Good would also mention that they did not initially find the broken taillight glass, which was eventually found by John's body, and they also did not locate his missing shoe for some time. Now, a little bit more interesting stuff here is the medical and forensic expert reports. Richard Green, the forensic expert that testified on this case, said that John's Apple Health data from January 29, 2022 showed that he traveled 87.4 meters and took 80 steps between 12:21 and 12:24, and he was also on 3 flights of stairs between 12:22 and 12:24 a.m. Green also testified that Jen McCabe's Google search did in fact happen at 2:27 a.m. Justin Rice, who was the emergency room doctor who treated John at Good Samaritan Hospital, did also testify that John was unresponsive, intubated, hypothermic, and in cardiac arrest with no pulse. Justin Rice would also be the person who would order the blood alcohol test on Karen, who had been brought to the hospital under a Section 12 order. She had a blood alcohol content of 0.93, which of course is over the legal limit of 0.08. Nicholas Roberts, who is a member of the Massachusetts Office of Alcohol Testing at Massachusetts State Police Crime Lab, discussed retrograde testing, a method used to estimate a person's blood alcohol level at an earlier time, using 12:45 as the estimated time of the last drink consumed. Roberts estimated her blood alcohol level would have been between 0.135% and 0.292%. During cross-examination, the accuracy of the estimation was questioned, noting that if Karen continued to drink after 12:45 a.m., the results would be inaccurate. Medical examiner Dr. Renee Stonebridge said John's injuries could come from either a fall or a traffic collision. And another medical examiner, Dr. Arini Scordi-Bello, described the autopsy findings and noted that the manner of death was undetermined as she did not have enough information. She noted that the injuries are not immediately lethal, but he could have been incapacitated. She said John's injuries could come from a fall, being hit with a blunt object, or even being hit with a car. When asked if the injuries are consistent with being hit by a car at 24 miles per hour, she said, "It's likely, but also unlikely at the same time." Now, with that all said, we once again come to that July 1st mistrial. After the jury being deadlocked after several days of deliberations, writing twice to the judge that they cannot reach a verdict, the jury sent one final note, writing that fundamental differences in their beliefs are making it nearly impossible to reach a unanimous verdict. So, as for now, we will continue to follow this story and hope that we will find something out in January 2025, because that is the only thing that I can see scheduled for her next trial.